Thank you for your prayers. If the enemy of my soul, as the Bible says, if the enemy can smite the shepherd, then the sheep will scatter. And you might think, well, what are you talking about today? Let's just say it like this, that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's amazing how you can walk through the things you walk through as a human being, not just a parent, and find out His word is true. Amen? Well, how many of you got peace today? Well, I don't. I got a lot of concerns today. Hello? I mean, what good would it be for me to stand up here and put on some type of facade and thinking, oh, everything is just rosy and peachy? See, now you go ahead and take your mask off today. This is real church. Because I seen your hands earlier. I seen all the concerns on your heart, all the concerns on your mind for loved ones, for family members, for people that you're carrying the load for, such as I. We do that. But yesterday morning when I was studying, yeah, on Christmas morning I was studying for today. That's what I did yesterday. I studied the first half of the day. Because I love you and I love what I do, even at difficult times. I still love and enjoy doing what I do. When I, several days ago, this subject actually came into my mind and I thought, you know, we've done this so much and I don't want to be redundant. I don't want to be repetitive. I mean, we sing joy to the world, the Lord has come, and peace, peace, wonderful peace. And we even sing, Brother Steve, look what the Lord has done. Y'all got your seatbelt on this morning, I hope. But yet in our natural man, we hear the songs, we sing the songs. But yet we struggle and we fight in this flesh. To just somehow, you've ever heard the old saying, draw a straw, you know, trying to draw a straw and find some sort of peace in our world that we're living in. I know even Steve and many others, but primarily Brother Steve, because a lot of you know what Brother Steve has went through. He went through intense COVID and had to be on a ventilator for days and was sick and almost died. Called Lori in and told her to make his final arrangements that this guy right here was checking out. We all knew that. And I was waking up in the morning and we were just saying, God, I don't know how to live life without Steve Gallimore. That's me. I don't know how I'm going to do that. He's my buddy. That's the truth. I don't know how I'm going to do life without Him. But God, He's here today. God did it. But yet I look at other families around this church and several that's lost individuals to COVID. I could put my finger on today. This thing has been more than just a sickness. Is it okay if I just go ahead and get comfortable? This thing has been a psychological train wreck. Hello? Oh, by the way, before I get too far, happy birthday, Marty. She's 42 today. At least 42. And we ask ourselves the questions, how in the world are we going to find peace today? In the world that we're living in, with all of its complications, with all of its ups and all of its downs, and all the things that we struggle with. And what Sherry and I have been having to deal with. How are we going to do that? I've asked myself these questions, you just don't know how many times. Well, several days ago, I don't even remember who it was. I was on the radio listening to it, which I rarely do. It must have been one of those moments I supposed to have had it on. And it talked about how that even in the middle of wars and strife and contentions and troubles, you can have peace. Listen close. Peace is not an event. Hello? Isaiah, when you look in Isaiah chapter number 6, there's just a few verses of scripture, and this is where I didn't want to be redundant and just repetitive. And it says this in the Word, and it says in verses 6 and 7 when you look at this. Because he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." Now, mind you, this is not an event. Did I say Isaiah 9, 6? Wrong one, sorry. Isaiah 9, 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." Notice the Bible said, or the Bible did not say, "And this event shall be called Wonderful." Christmas shall be called Wonderful. Christmas shall be called Counselor. Christmas shall be called the... No, it didn't say that. His name shall be... This is where I was at a week ago, piggybacking 2 weeks ago, rather. Because before we do anything else here this morning, myself, I've already kind of run this through my grinder and processed it over the last few days. Because if you don't know Jesus today... I found this out in my own life. I don't care what you do, where you go, what you have tried to acquire, what you have done to try to acquire some form of peace in your life. It will not be a lasting peace. It might be a temporary band-aid for something that's really deeper in your heart or in your life. Because in reality, what I heard somebody say the other day, and again, listen to radio just in passing, that peace is not an event. Happiness can cause, an event can cause happiness. I mean, we can give you a birthday party, Marty, and it's going to be wonderful for a couple of hours. You can get a new vehicle, and you can do this, and you can do that, and you can have all these things, but all of that's temporary. And you're looking at me this morning and saying, "Well, how in the world can you get up there and preach after you just got through saying you've been going through things?" Because of Jesus. Because peace is not an event. Peace is a person. Hello? So we look at this morning and we think where he says, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Verse number 7, the Bible went on to say, "Of his increase, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So when we look at this, in the scripture. And I had them sing this particular song this morning out of the book of Numbers is a priestly prayer. And you can go back to Numbers chapter 24 and you can read down through there, primarily verse number 26. I'm not going to turn there and read all of it. But it was there that this prayer was prayed over the children of Israel. And one of the primary things that was there was simply mentioned in the scripture. And you can see it there. Again, in the book of Numbers and 24 and verse 26. I got to turn there and I got it. It's right here. It ain't going far. It's on the next page. Look at this. He says this in the Word. Verse number 26. Is that the right verse? It'll take me an hour. It's not 26, it's 6, right? Who said 26? Wow. How did I do that? Where's it at, Hannah? Did I booger that up that bad? Huh? Anyway, at that priestly prayer, I don't even know where it's at now. See, that's one of them things. It's like Numbers 24 and 6. But anyway, it says that the prayer that the priest prayed over the people, "And the Lord give you peace." It was a during the day. Don't worry about it, Kathy. It was during the day of Isaiah. When Isaiah, maybe it's 6:24. Hey, maybe it's, I flipped it backwards. Thank you. Don't worry about it now. I flipped it backwards. I'm sorry. Dyslexia kicking in. But when Isaiah actually wrote this, it was during a troubled time between the Assyrians and the Babylonians. When there was war in the middle of all of this, and the children of Israel, and they had came up against the northern kingdom, Judah, against the northern part of the children of Israel. And when Isaiah began to write this, he began to write these words again because of the condition that the world was in during that time. Isaiah was a prophet. He prophesied and he told them, he spoke forth. That's what prophecy is, to speak forth of the events that would take place during his reign. And again, Isaiah was a prophet telling the future of the rise of Babylon. In other words, storm clouds were on the horizon. The Assyrians was going to rise up against the northern kingdom of Israel. And it seems like at this time in their life, there seemed to be no peace to be found, and it seemed everywhere around them seemed to be nothing more than words of destruction and words that would bring forth despair to the people. And again, I didn't write this down, but I think about the world that we're living in today. Very few people have anything good to say today. And whatever you do, don't listen to everything you hear on the TV or the news channels, because you'll get depressed. you'll be eating Tums by dark if you start listening to all that stuff. We've got to keep our eyes on Him. We've got to keep our eyes on the Prince of Peace. And when this was being written again to the children of Israel through the prophet Isaiah, he was just simply saying in Christology that how that this prophecy was a foreshadowing of that one that was to come. Who would be the hope of the world? But when Jesus came, maybe they were looking for a monarch. Maybe they were looking for a world leader. Maybe they were looking for a world dictator. Maybe they were looking for an elite. Much like the world is looking for somebody today to fix all the problems that our world is in. And you know and I know and we've said, and it's come out of my mouth too, we're not living in the same America that we grew up in. Hello, somebody. We live in a very strange and foreign land. I'm glad the Bible says we're just strangers and pilgrims passing through, much like Abraham. Hello? And you look at this today and we see this in our world today. But before Jesus came on the scene, the authors of the New Testament read the book of Isaiah more than any other book in the Old Testament, knowing and stating, watch this, that the light was coming and the light of Jesus was coming. And they realized through Isaiah and they anticipated the Messiah and His coming. Now, I'm not here today to preach a message on the rapture. Somebody says, oh, there you go again, escapism. Preaching about escapism. Let me tell you something. I didn't turn there. I didn't look at it. I thought about it, but I knew if I turned over there, I would get stuck. I didn't want to get stuck there. But the Bible said that we're going to be changed in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. The Bible reminds us in Thessalonians, hey, guess what, friend? He's coming back as a thief in the night. The Bible has already told us that this same Jesus that you see go away shall come again in like manner as you have seen Him go. The Bible says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. In an hour where people will rebel against anything that's got anything to do with righteousness. Are we not living in the day where that people will rebel? Almost all folks, I mean, not the Christians, of course, and not you and I, of course, but anything that's got anything to do with God and Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, it's a time that they would rebel against the plan of God. We look at this, and again, Isaiah accused the people of God sinning and going against God, rebelling against the one who had made them and redeemed them. Anytime people move away from God, the first thing that they lose is their peace. So today, if you really don't have peace in your heart, if you really don't have peace in your life, I'm going to tell you something, friend. With everything that you can go through and everything that we've been through and everything we're going through now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've got an unshakable peace in my heart right now. Do I like everything that's been going on around me? Absolutely not. But I'm glad to know the Prince of Peace. I'm glad to know there's a song that says, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. See, these songs we sing, they impact us, don't they? I'm glad I know Him today. But again, when Isaiah was doing this, Isaiah was writing against them and instructed these individuals, the sinners, to reform their ways and to return and to become obedient unto Christ. You say, I want peace in my life today. Just do what Isaiah did. He instructed them in his day, if you will, to renounce their sin, reform their ways, and act in an obedient way towards God. Is that not a message for today? I want to say that again. He instructed them to repent of their ways, reform their ways, if you will, and become obedient unto Christ. And then thirdly, Isaiah announced God's judgment on the people because of their sin. And finally, God revealed His future restoration of the people, or at least of the faithful remnant that survived the judgment. So again, when we think about this at Christmas time, sin would turn them to true repentance. How did all this happen? How did all of this happen to Isaiah? When you go into Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1, I think I got that one right. I hope I do. Isaiah 6 and 1, we're going to go back to read the first part of it. Isaiah was able to do this because of his own personal encounter with Jesus. You can talk to people until you're blue in the face about the peace that Jesus brings. But until they have had a personal encounter with Jesus, all it is Charlie Brown. And you know what I'm talking about. Mama, 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 mama. I never did understand Charlie Brown when they done that. I'll leave that alone. Isaiah's call for repentance as a prophet came because he had an encounter with God Himself. We see that it was in the year that King Uzziah died. Commentary tells us that Uzziah, the people's minds and their hearts and their lives was so fixed on Uzziah that it really took Uzziah, their savior of the time, if you will. As he died, they were able to get their minds off of him and get their minds back on God. And I believe today that that's one of the things that's happened. Don't misunderstand me. Please don't misquote me. Don't misunderstand me. And this is not a political statement. But let me just say it without saying it. Your Savior don't sit in the Oval Office in the White House. Yesterday, today, former, present, future. Your peace can only come from one place. It didn't come to Isaiah through Uzziah, the king. He said it was in the year that King Uzziah died and I saw the Lord. He finally was able to see God. What a prayer for 2022. That the church will get her eyes off of everything else that's going on around her and get her eyes once again back on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace. Get our eyes fixed once again upon You, Lord. Hallelujah, anyhow. And he says, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Look at verse 2. And he says, above it stood the seraphims, and each one had wings, which twain they covered their face, and with twain they covered their feet, with twain they did fly. Seraphim, wings over face, wings over feet, wings flying. And he looked at this in verse number 3. Look what Isaiah said. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of His glory. I'm going to jump ahead, Kathy, real fast. When you look at the whole earth has been filled with His glory. Again, when we look at the Christmas story, one of my favorite verses, I've always said this, is over in the book of Luke chapter 2 and verse number 14. Because God knew what we needed. God knew that we needed His presence. God knew that we could not have it any other way. When you look in Luke 2 and 14, again, the angel said, glory to God in the highest. And look at this, and on earth. Let me just say it the way I feel it. It's God's will for you to be at peace. It's not God's will for you and I to live our lives so agitated that we lose our sight of Him. That we lose the sight of the Prince of Peace. Again, peace is not an event. Peace is a person. Jesus is the person. You want peace today? Get a hold of the person, Jesus Christ, and you can get peace in your heart and in your life today. Again, glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace, good will toward men. Again, going back, and I hope I don't blunder this again, going back into Numbers, I hope it's chapter number 6, because there in that scripture it talks about this, that blessing. When the priest prayed that prayer, he talked about that God pronounced His peace over you. And I could turn there now and look it up and find it, and it wouldn't be no problem. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. And may the Lord give you peace. How many of you today are feeling it already? You felt the tension in the air maybe when you come in. But now the Holy Ghost is settling down in this room and you're beginning to feel the peace of God. You say, well, preacher, I came in here with peace today. I did too in Him. But Isaiah, when Isaiah was commissioned, he came there to remind them of God's holy standard. He saw the angels of heaven and declared all of God's righteousness over them. Isaiah reminded them to turn away from their sins and to turn away from their idolatry and turn away from their lifestyle and once again turn their hearts towards Him. Again, when we think about this, I just wanted to submit to you today that God will judge sin and God will always judge wrong. Yet, we are to remember that God's whole plan is a plan of restoration. God's whole plan is a plan to restore and to mend the broken relationship that existed between man and God. That's the whole thing about Christmas. God sent His Son, Jesus, to die for you and to die for me, to restore those relationships that had been torn apart from sin and the effects thereof. Throughout the book of Isaiah, God is reaching. Again, when we think about that, when you think about God going out of His way to reach the heart of man. Have you ever thought about that? God gave something, as we know, and we talk about at this time of the year, Christmas is about Jesus. Again, when we think about it, gifts are okay. Gifts are fine. Money's fine. We all need it. But yet, in all reality, more than anything else, we cannot get all of that, try to find our peace in all of that, and forget about who Jesus is. Hello? The great news is that He has come, and this is one of the things I thought about. The great news is that He's in this room right now. He's here. The Bible says that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said that. And of course, Paul concluded that He was the chief of sinners. You say, well, preacher, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. It don't make no difference where you've been, and it don't make no difference what you've done. The question that I would pose before you today is, are you seeking God today? Are you doing that today? Are you after God today? You cannot live your life looking through the rearview mirror. Hello, somebody. What's done is done. chalk it up as life, chalk it up as experience, and move on. Move on. Tell the devil, I'm moving on. I hope I'm not boring you today. Tell the devil, I'm moving on. I've been robbed long enough. I've been stolen from long enough. You've cheated me out of my blessing long enough. I'm moving on. Are you with me today? People today search the whole world looking and seeking for an internal peace. A peace that will fill every void, every empty spot. May I submit to you today that drugs won't do that. It won't fill the void. It won't fill the emptiness of your heart. Wealth won't do it. It might make things easier for a while and a season, but it won't give you peace and fill that void. Alcohol won't do it. I'm hesitant to even say this because I got little ears in this room, but sex won't even do it. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. None of those things will fill the void. It's only Jesus. Somebody says there's a God-shaped vacuum in every hole, in every heart. And it's only God that'll fit in that spot. And again, when we think about this, we think about peace today as something that can only be provided through the grace of God. Again, my question to you that so many today are allowing things to come and rob them of their peace. Many things come to try to take our peace away. And this is one of the things that kind of got my attention the other day when I was processing this message maybe 4 or 5 days ago, thinking about it anyway. Look at this scripture. And again, I'm gonna look at the scripture and then I'll talk about it. It's actually in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, and you look at, I hope I got the right place. Verse 12. And this is really an oddity today because here we are talking about peace, that you can have peace. All this glorious peace. But yet in the same regard, the Bible says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. You say, well, I don't understand where you're coming from, preacher. I'm saying that God said He's the Prince of Peace. Peace is a person. But yet on the other hand, the Bible said that you're going to go through the fiery trial and it's going to try you. Hello, somebody. There ain't a person in this room, maybe some of the young people, you think trying to get well, I'm not going to minimize their struggles. I wanted to pass tests too. I still want to pass tests. That's anxiety to young people today. I mean, school's overwhelming. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to minimize that. So your schoolwork's important and your tests are important. But God will help you through those as well as He'll help you through everything else in life. But when you get a little bit older, the tests are tougher. It gets more complicated. Again, let me meddle for a second. We ain't having church tonight, and we're eating leftovers today, and I'm not really got to go do anything right now. I'll go over here and talk to this crowd. Y'all, I don't know what it was, Mike, but when I was a lot younger, I lived in this dream of when you got older, everything was going to be so easy. Get your kids raised, get your cars paid for, get your house paid for. None of those things are done. Living the dream, brother, living the dream, in a dream. And I'll be honest with you. At times, it's more difficult now than it was then. I'll pick on little Natalie here. How old are you? 9? 8? I was close. When they're 8 years old, you've got a little bit of control over them. When they're 28-year-old, 38-year-old, 48-year-old, you just bear that burden, don't you? I thought it was going to be a lot easier as they got a lot older. I mean, in some cases, yes. You're not changing diapers and you're not showing them how to do certain things to their physical person anymore. All kinds of trials. My trial's different than yours. Yours is different than mine. Everybody in this room finds themselves at a different place today. Everybody. I don't care who you are. Everybody. Little Louise right here had knee surgery long ago. She had a knee operated on. That was her trial for a season, wasn't it? Trying to get over a knee surgery. Other people in this room said, boy, I've been there and done that. Roger's had a hip surgery. I mean, everybody's got, Charlie's had knee surgery. You know, everybody has their ups and downs, don't they? And then, let me quit meddling so much and move on. Then you think about Job. You think about what Job went through. His friends left him. Now that's puzzling to me right there. That's puzzling to me because you would think, hello, y'all awake? This is important, at least to me anyway. You would think that when you become a Christian, everybody would be going, man, I'm so glad they're a Christian. Yay, they're a Christian now. Y'all think I've lost my mind, don't you? It'll be all right, won't it, Brother Cain? It'll be all right. Hey, look at this scripture with me. Hey, y'all help me figure this out. Look in Matthew chapter 10. Look in Matthew chapter 10. Now, I haven't got this thing figured out, folks. Somebody says, well, maybe you didn't need to study so much on Christmas Day and you might have enjoyed Christmas Day a little bit better. No, this is what I was doing Christmas Day. I was thinking about all this. Matthew chapter number 10, looking in verse number 34. I hope I got the right place. Now, these scriptures trouble me. Now, if you're a theologian and you can think deeper than me, maybe you and I can have a talk about this. Because these things, how many of you got a red letter edition? Some of you don't even know what that is. Red letter is supposed to be the words that Jesus spoke, and it's recorded in the King James Version as Jesus' actual words. If you got another version, I can't speak to that. I have no idea. They might be blue versions. I have no idea. They might be blue, red, blue letter. I have no idea. This is what Jesus said. And these, Brother Steve, are the verses that trouble my heart. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Well, I thought you was the Prince of Peace. I thought everything about you was a peace. I thought it was just going to be, oh, happy day. But Jesus said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I did not understand that. I was going, oh, this is really blowing my mind because here I am, the Prince of Peace. But let me just say it like this. When you become a Christian, the very people that you think needs to be your support, the Bible says oftentimes they become your foes. Being family, being those around you that you thought would love you and care for you. Jesus said, because of me, you're not going to be loved by all men. And it's going to be because you've loved me. Look at this next verse, 34. He goes, 35, he goes right on. He said, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father and against daughter, against mother, and against the daughter-in-law, against the mother-in-law. I don't understand all that. I don't understand how two's going to be grinding at the mill and one's taken and one's left. That just simply means that everybody's not got their heart right with God. Are we okay? I hope. hope everybody in this room's got your heart right with God. But if your heart's not with God, you probably wish I'd hurry up and shut up and go home, eat my leftover turkey and sweet potatoes. But I'm just simply telling you that peace is a person. Peace is not an event. Look at the next verse. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. Go ahead. And he that loveth his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. In other words, there's going to come a time in your life that you're going to have to make up your mind. Whether you're going to have peace with man or peace with God. I choose peace with God regardless of what people think about me. I know this ain't popular. And you probably wish I'd have brought something real cheesy in here this morning.